Welcome to Within the Realm. I'm your host, Steve Garrett. The pipes conjure a mental picture of lush green hills and a proud and strong people. Another thing they bring to mind are big burly men in kilts, throwing weights and hammers, and tossing the caper, the large telephone-like thing. The Highland Games did indeed originate in Scotland, occurring since before written history, in various forms. The Highland Games as we know them today were formalized during the Victorian Age. The heavy events evolved from military exercises into competitions of strength. The first recorded Highland Games in the United States occurred in 1866. The Caledonian Club of San Francisco held a picnic with athletic events that year. The Caledonian Club Games continue to this day and has become one of the largest festivals of its kind in the world. The popularity of the games increased after World War II and continues to grow. In August of this year, the Topeka Classic Strength Festival featured several world-class Highland Games athletes. Two of them were from the same family. Brothers Nathan and Isaac Burchett rarely compete against each other, but both were on hand for this event. Both have been involved in the games for many years, and both have held world records in their class. But this story isn't about them. It's about their younger sister, Emily Burchett, who also is a Highland Games professional and has been invited to compete internationally. I interviewed Emily a few weeks before the Highland Games in Palmer, Alaska. She was one of six women's elite throwers to be invited to this event. I caught up with Emily at a busy Denny's restaurant where we talked about her upcoming competition, her family, and the spirit of the games.
My oldest brother, he actually got interested in playing bagpipes, and so he started taking lessons. And then my sister that's just older than me started doing the Scottish Highland dancing. With those two interests already there, we would make it to some Scottish festivals. My dad would watch my sister compete in the dancing, and it's fun to watch, but there's a lot of downtime in between her dances, and so he would wander his way over to the heavy athletics field, and he, you know, is 6'6", about 280, big man, and he's like, well, I think I can throw stuff like them. And so he, soon after that, got into throwing stuff, and then my older brothers started throwing that next year, and then soon after that, I started throwing.
And your older brothers are pretty known quantities.
Yes, I mean, they're known, one, for being really pretty good at it, and then we're also known as a family since we're, you know, two generation, and there's three of us that still do it, so our name's out there because we're all around the United States and around the world throwing, so we know a lot of the names, big names too, yep.
You have been a world record holder.
Yes, in the women's lightweight class, which is just women who weigh under 150 pounds. And so that class has been around for about, I think going on 4 years now. And so that one's fairly new. The men have had a lightweight class for many, many years. Their class is under 200 pounds. Now the women have added another class since there's more interest in it.
Yep. What was the event?
So I got the world record in the 14-pound weight for distance, and I threw that about 72 and a half feet. I've come close to some others, and I think I have the potential to get some more, but we'll just have to see. Yeah, that one is comparable to like the track and field weight for distance.
Okay.
It's got a ball with a chain and a handle that you throw one-handed. You spin around and you just check it out for distance. Yep.
What are your brothers? think of having a little sister that's competitive in this sport?
They're like some of my biggest fans too. They'll like call or text me when I on a competition day, and they'll give me a hard time that I'm not giving them enough updates throughout my day. Honestly, one of my brothers, he remembers my records better than I do. Like, he's just like, oh yeah, he can just pull those numbers out of his head for my records better than I can. So, oh, they love it, and they're definitely big supporters, and they were my coaches growing up when we would throw. We lived at home. And so, I mean, I learned all that I know from my brothers doing their research and coaching me. And Nathan, one of my older brothers, who's a pro, and he also was my track and field coach in college. So he's coached me a lot in my throwing career and everything like that. Well, I definitely know I got that from my dad's side. I mean, he always wanting to push ourselves and do better and do well. For me, it's more of a competitiveness with myself. I will walk away from a games as happy as a clam if I got a personal record in something, but I came dead last throughout the day. I look at it more of I want to be better than myself from the last event and keep continuing to grow in the events. I don't know, it's just wanting to always improve myself and get better.
That effort to get better has led Emily to declare her own professional status.
So professional is the highest class you get before professional is A class, is what they call it. There's A, B, C class. And so my brothers were in the A class, and that just means that they just got really good and started winning a lot of the competitions that were the top level. And so you just basically make a formal announcement that you are going pro, and you have to get festivals to invite you places, and you have to have a name that's known, and you can only go to festivals when you are invited now. When you're not pro, you can go to any festival and compete at those other levels whenever you want to. There's not technically a pro class for the women at this point yet. We're referred to as elite. So what that just means is the top tier women, although we do get paid at some games, which that technically makes you pro when you get paid for the sport that you do, we also compete with amateurs.
At the time of our interview, Emily was preparing for the Highland Games in Palmer, Alaska, which had become an important event for women's elite athletes.
Well, this festival is actually kind of unique as they started doing this. I think this is the 33rd year that they've been doing this festival, and they have been mainly hosting pro men, and so that just means they host a lot of the best in the world for the men's class, and they pay them to come from around the United States and Canada and elsewhere. But this year they decided to, every other year, they change it to inviting the elite women. So this year they have selected six elite women to go compete there, and they are offering the same prize money as they offer the pro men, which is very unheard of in the sport. And so that's a pretty big deal for like the women's class to be offered the same tier that the guys, the pro men, have been offered in the years past. So it's great to see that the women's class is able to grow and get that kind of recognition as well. I would just like to make a good showing for myself. I was very, very honored to be invited, and being only six spots, I was very honored to be top six and invited. I know that there's going to be some really, really tough competitions, so I've been training, and I just like to show people what I can do, and that I'm small, but I've got hopefully a little bit of fire underneath me to get some stuff moving, yeah.
Emily did compete that day in Alaska, but only brought home a win in the event called the Farmer's Walk, an event where the contestant carries weight over distance. Although these elite athletes are competitive, they also don't take themselves too seriously. For example, these Alaska Games had a special event, Salmon for Distance. This is where the contestants threw a 50-pound rubber salmon. Try as she might, Emily did not get the hang of it. According to Emily, this combination of competitiveness and camaraderie is part of what contributes to the growth of the games.
When I started, especially in the Midwest, there was a lot of people just, I don't know, they just maybe saw it and thought that that looked like fun. Maybe not necessarily having a sports background, but just the people are fun, the festival's fun. But now you see a lot more of the people that are coming out of track and field in college, and they finish their career in college and they want to keep going, and they find Highland Games and they find out that, wow, this is very, very close to the same stuff. The people are awesome, so it's the interest that brings them, and the people, I think, really is what keeps a lot of people coming back, and just the friendships that are made and how fun it is. But yeah, you're seeing a lot more Olympic athletes, world record holders, and other things like strongman, and you know, even sprinting. Like, you know, you get different sports that just come in here and just think that that is really, really fun. There's a lot of competitiveness in the Highland Games, but it's different from other sports that I've competed in. I mean, I've competed in track and field or volleyball or, you know, other team sports like that, but Highland Games is just, you just see a lot of people just genuinely wanting other people to do really, really well. We would rather lose to someone who had a great throw than to beat someone who had a terrible day. It's just, we just like to see people do well. And of course, you know, it is kind of fun to beat somebody by an inch or two every once in a while. But you know that happens to you every once in a while as well.
If you would like to see some photos of Emily in action, and find links to more information about her and her big brothers and Highland Games in general, check our show notes at withinpodcast.com or find links on our Facebook and Twitter accounts. Thanks for joining us today on Within the Realm. Remember, you can find archived episodes of our show on our website, withinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, and other podcast services. Be sure to leave a rating and a review. Our theme music is provided by 556 and a half. And remember, everything has a story, and it's all within the realm. Thanks for listening.